Well, welcome. From me, I would really like to just say and wish everyone a happy new year. I know it's kind of a couple of weeks in or 2 weeks in, and so it feels like we're always saying it, but happy new year from me. And I really love New Year's. You know, I love the kind of language that we speak, the opportunity that there is. You know, we come up with all the resolution words. You know, we think it's we've reflected, we're going to refocus, restart, recommit, reawaken, recharge, maybe reboot, we resolve. You know, this year is going to be different, isn't it? How many of you have already broken your New Year's resolution? Hands up. Okay, I can see a couple. How many of you, like me, aim low with your New Year's resolution? Maybe you don't even have one, because you know it's the same old story. You know, this is the season of self-improvement. It's really interesting that the highest numbers in churches, in gyms, and in vitamin shops happen in January. So it's like, you know, biggest sales, biggest numbers, because it's the season of self-improvement. And the big question is, what should I do about me? Don't you think that sometimes, you know, what am I going to do about me this year? But I bet you, I'm just going to make a little sneaky bet here with the bookies. End of 2015, majority of us, like last year, exhausted, overwhelmed, overscheduled, anxious, isolated, and dissatisfied. Potentially. I'll just take a little bet. And so I really wanted to think about a passage in the Bible that might just give us wisdom and bring hope. What would God say maybe to us tonight? And so I'm looking at, if you're new here and you've never kind of read the Bible before, I'm looking at a letter that a guy by the name of Paul wrote to a Christian community in Galatia. And this Christian community had started thinking that in order to get right with God, they had to be moral, or they had to be good. And I don't know if you've felt like that before. The way that you relate to God is you've got to sort your life out. You've got to live out your New Year's resolutions. And that kind of community, it just becomes lifeless. And so Paul reminds this community. He says, guys, the two things you need, the death of Christ for you, the grace of God, that God loves you as you are on the basis of what Christ has done. He has performed in your place. And you need the life of God in you. The death of Christ for you and the life of God in you. And so that's kind of the context. And what Paul does in this letter now is he takes us nochal to the farm. Okay? You want to talk about New Year's? Let's go to the farm. He's going to talk about farming. He comes up with this agricultural illustration. And what he has to say in this text, I think, is life-altering. I think if we get it, if it lands, I think it could change the trajectory of your year and of your life. Not in a motivational kind of way, but it's a cracking truth. Many of you might have heard it before at school, but I don't think many of us have actually taken some time to just think about it and to camp there. It's one idea that I just want to share tonight with you guys, and before you kind of brush it off and go, oh yeah, hocus pocus, really think about it. Think about what I'm going to say. It's a great truth. So should we get into it? Won't you open with me? There's a Bible in front of you. Help your buddy if he's never seen a Bible before. Open it up onto page 180 towards the end of the Bible. Help him find Galatians. And we're going to be reading from chapter 6, verses 7 to 10. If you can't find it, it is on the screen. So we're going to go to the farm, and we're going to just see what does Paul have to say. Verse 7, he says this, "Rose bankers, don't be deceived. Okay, don't kid yourselves this year. God cannot be mocked." You know, this isn't really a joke. It's not going to happen. Don't deceive yourselves. "A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit," what does that mean? from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let's not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap, and here's the illustration, a harvest. We will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And therefore, as we have opportunity this year, for some of us, this may be our last year. I pray I don't have to do your funeral. I pray you don't have to do mine. But the opportunity before us to serve the Lord in 2015, let us do good to all, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And I love this verse, and I'll tell you why. I brought with me just the, it's magical. I got it in my pocket, and I'm going to make this point. But do you want to see it? This is going to change your life. If you can see that far, if you can't, we don't have binoculars, but this is going to change your life. So I'm going to show it to you. I'm just trying to find it in my pocket. They're deep. Okay. Can you see that? This is an acorn. Did you know that? Now, in my mom and dad's house, we have an oak tree. And I love that oak tree. I mean, the birds, the leaves, it is huge. It's massive. And I talk about that oak tree. I lie under the grass and make little wings and I look at the birds and I try to dodge a couple of, you know. But we talk about that oak tree and we gaze at it and it's just there. But what we don't speak about is the acorn. You know what I'm saying? We often neglect where that massive thing came from. And what Paul is saying today, I think, is that the trajectory of your 2015 and your life is more about the acorn than it is about the oak tree. I mean, this thing, you know, this is powerful right here. Your oak tree might be your resolutions, your dreams, your goals. You know, I'm going to do the comrades this year. Yeah, right. Maybe matric. And I want you to look at this and say, if any of that is to come to pass, Paul is saying we've got to look at how we sow. In fact, I've got another thing in my other pocket, and it's a bag of weed. Not weed like that. Some of you got excited there, I can see. Yeah, I'm enjoying this joint already. Excuse the pun. But it's not that kind of weed, guys. It's you know, a seed that grows weeds. And Paul is saying, don't mock, don't deceive yourself. Whichever one you sow this year, you sow an acorn, you get an oak tree. You sow weed, seed, you get weeds. You get what I'm saying? That's what Paul's saying here. So let's look at this. The two things we're going to look at is the harvest and the sowing, and then we're done. So let's look at the harvest. Paul mentions it in verse 9. He says, you know, we're going to reap a harvest. He says three times, you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. In verse 22 of chapter 5, which is where this chunk starts, he speaks about the fruit of the Spirit. So he gives this image of the farm and an agricultural image, and he speaks about this harvest. Last year when I was coaching the St. Cillian's Boys College first team golf side, and we went to the UK on a golf tour, and we used to drive, we stayed in a place called Lenham, and we drove from Lenham to Kent. And on your route there, you would see these rapeseed oil fields. They look like yellow buttercups. And early morning, we'd go for an early morning tee off, and these just golden, like, fields for miles over the hills, as far as the eye could see. It was just breathtaking. You know, we would even, I'd say, boys, let's just stop and just soak it in, how gorgeous this field is. And they'd be like, come on, sir, let's go tee off. But they did enjoy it. And Paul, I think, when he looks at our Christian community, God cares about the harvest. He looks at 2015 and he wants to see a field like that. He wants to see life. He wants to see growth. He cares about fruit. He wants a return on your life. He speaks about it all over Scripture. He wants you to grow in usefulness and me to grow in usefulness. And notice how in just this chunk of Scripture, there's two harvests. And we're going to either be one or the other. We're going to either be heading towards one or the other. He speaks about reaping destruction. I thought about some words. Destruction, death, disorder, chaos, disintegration, decay, breakdown, pain, imprisonment, bondage, ruin, turmoil, slavery, dissatisfaction, isolation, disillusionment, oppression, burdened, heavy-hearted, lonely, empty, aimless. You ever met anyone like that? Do you ever feel that when you put your head on the pillow? That's been the harvest of my life. Some of those things really resonate with me. He speaks about a second kind of harvest. He calls it eternal life. Life, fullness, freedom, joyfulness, order, healing, deep assurance, redemption, restoration, life, sonship. These are the words that he uses in this letter to the Galatians. Any of you, as you've walked with Christ, tasted that? Has he been that real to your soul? And either we will be the one or the other. And we've got to look at the difference that Jesus makes. He's concerned about our fruit. Either we're going to be rot fruit or we're going to be ripe fruit. And so in 2015, let's ask, what is your harvest going to look like? What do you want your harvest to look like? Maybe we might talk a big game. We might make New Year's resolutions. And yet at the end of the year, there's going to be this problem. We're going to feel overwhelmed, exhausted, and potentially overscheduled. And so with this problem, I think Paul takes us to something so radical. He wants us to look at the sowing. It's so counterintuitive. He wants us to think hard about how we sow, to reflect on how we sow. It's actually a call to smaller and to lesser things. It's a call to more ordinary things. If you notice in chapter 5, he speaks about walking in the Spirit in verse 16. He speaks about keeping in step with the Spirit. And so it's really interesting that your life is not shaped by the big events, not by the weddings, the funerals, the deaths. It's not shaped primarily by the big events. It's shaped by the day-to-day walking. That the man and the woman that we become is shaped by the ordinary sowing. Isn't that incredible? And when you think about it, your year is made up of months, which is made up of weeks, which is made up of days, which is made up of minutes. And so Paul wants us to think about how we sow. Because you reap what you sow. That's the big idea. You reap later than you sow. That's what Paul's alluding to here. And you always reap greater than what you sow. You sow with a seed, but you reap a harvest. And so we've got to look at what are the two ways that we can sow? Because Paul has two ways in mind. In verses 8, he says, we sow to the flesh, or we sow to the Spirit. Now, sowing to the flesh or to our sinful nature, it's not weird. It's not language we understand if you haven't been in church. I think it means if we sow in a way, if we live in such a way that we live apart from God. And to sow to the Spirit is to live in such a way where we live under the guidance of God. And people have made it mystical, but he gives real practical examples of what would it mean to sow to the flesh and what would it mean to sow to the Spirit. So he gives some examples in verse 15, backbiting. Look in verse 15. He says, if you bite and devour each other, watch out or you'll be destroyed by each other. Jonathan Edwards speaks about this one verse as the thing that destroys Christian communities, this backbiting. He speaks about envying one another, and in our culture and in our churches, comparing. Look at verse 26. Let's not be conceited, provoking, and envying one another. He speaks about generosity. Look at verse 6 of chapter 6. The one who receives instruction in the word, that's you, should share all good things with their instructor. That's me, but that's not what he's talking about. He's speaking about the first time in Galatia, there were Christian people in ministry, and he was encouraging those churches to give. Tim Keller wrote an article last week about building a culture of giving. And he said in bigger churches, people walk in and they think, oh, they're taken care of. You know, they don't need me to tithe. And he says one third give financially. And if this is your first time here, please, this has been so abused. I'm not encouraging you to give, because next week you're going to see me in a white suit with a golden mark and a white handkerchief flying my jet. That's not the issue. If you're a member here and you want to grow and sow to the Spirit and grow in generosity, then I want to encourage every one of you guys to give to your spiritual home. And that's a very practical example of what it means to walk in the Spirit. Look at how he speaks about sowing to the flesh in verse 19 of chapter 5. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. How was your New Year, gents? Was it good? How did you sow? Were you sowing to the flesh? Paul's very practical here. And in this sowing, either sowing, walking with God under his lordship, or walking apart from God, Paul's realistic. He realizes it's a battle. Look at verse 16 of chapter 5. I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what's contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, or they are at war with one another. And I love this verse. Paul's saying, okay, you got two dogs. You know, Lord of the Rings, like Smeagol. Like, one time he's like, no, we must love Frodo. And then he's like, no, we must kill him. You know, and we all got Smeagols in us. And it's almost like you got these two dogs in you. Now, which dog is going to win? Let me ask you that question. Which dog is, if I put them in a ring and they start fighting, the dog that's going to win is the dog that I feed. Yes? If I starve this dog and I feed this dog more porn, more hatred, more fighting, more gossiping, more car park chatter, more ladder climbing, more, the list is endless in me, and I feed this dog, it's going to win. More love, more service, more generosity, more patience, more bath times where I love my family and I help serve at home and I wash my kid. I sow to the Spirit and I starve this dog. That's the dog that's going to win. And that's what Paul is saying. There's a real battle. If he uses a military term of war, of conflict. He speaks about walking by the Spirit, under the influence of the Spirit. So I know some of you had a great New Year's Eve, and it starts off in the evening with a couple of drinks, and you'll start noticing towards the later parts of the evening, things start getting a bit wobbly, you know, a bit fuzzy, and you start walking differently. You ever notice that? And you have a couple more drinks, and you start making decisions that are just not you. They're just really different. And maybe you get in a car and you never would have. And maybe you say things you never would have. But at the end of the day, the point is you're under the influence. And that influence governs your life for the next couple of hours. And I think that's what Paul's referring to. He's saying that you can be under the influence of Christ. You can so walk by the Spirit that he influences your every step, your daily walk. Isn't that amazing? And as you walk in God, as you learn from him, as you sit at his feet, as you grow in him, as you understand how much he loves you, the conditions by which he loves you, as you look at the cross and understand it, it changes everything. And at the end of the day, there's fruit. And Paul's saying that growth in God is inevitable. It's simultaneous. He speaks about the fruit of the Spirit here being love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. You can't be loving and then not gentle. You can't be patient and not forbearing. This fruit grows simultaneously. He doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit. He says the fruit is characterized by these things. And so to make this really practical, I think the sowing needs to actually harness the power of our calendars. What if you were to say, God, if you were in charge of my calendar this year, what would it look like? I think Paul's saying that those squares in your Microsoft Outlook have the power to shape the trajectory of your life. If you really think about it, that's where your 2015 is going to be won or lost. Not in the big dreams and the big talk, but in the power of your calendar. God is so concerned about who we are becoming as a community. Are we becoming more loving, more gracious, more joyful? Or are we becoming more backbiting, more gossiping, more? And it just is dependent upon how we sow. And God needs to give us the grace to sow wisely. And so I'd like to close with a couple of biblical goals for us, just to think about sowing. Maybe for some of you in 2015, you want to connect with God intimately this year. And maybe we need to look at our church attendance. I've met some people that have said, geez, Ryan, I met with God. And I almost didn't come. And I was like, what? You met with the living God. The living God spoke to you tonight, changed the trajectory of your eternity potentially, and you almost never came. And so maybe you need to write in your diary, church. You know, if you're sitting on a Saturday night like my wife and I, and you say, should we go to church tomorrow? You're not going to church tomorrow. That was a joke. You can laugh. But I know it's uncomfortable. But if you think, should we, honey, should we, there's a good cricket game on. I wish I was at the cricket, but I'm just having a stab. But maybe you need to put in church, and it's a non-negotiable. I want to connect with God. I want to know the living God. It's in my diary. I'm going to give him a crack, and I put it in. Or maybe you need to put in your diary, Alpha. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, I'm going to give it 10 weeks, and then I'm going to tell every Christian to leave me alone. I've done Alpha, or I'm going to walk with God further. Because I've got to that point in my life where I really want to have some questions answered. So you put in Alpha. Or maybe you want to meet personally with God. And so what I put in my diary is 15 minutes in the morning, TAWG, time alone with God. I close my sliding door. My little Joshy will come and smash the door. It's kind of soundproof, so I can't even hear him. I just kind of turn the chair so I can't even see him. And it's 15 minutes with Christ. I open his word in the book of John. It's a good place to start if you've never read the Bible. And I'll write out 10 verses, and I'll say, Lord, speak to me. And those who come to church, it doesn't make you more right with God or more loved by God, but those who sow week by week, and those who wake up and do 15 minutes just trying to engage with the Lord and hear from him every day, are going to grow more than those who don't. It's don't be deceived. God can't be mocked. Or maybe you want your family life to flourish this year. So you put in your diary, you put home. 5 o'clock you knock off, you put home. You will be home. Kirsten and I say 4 nights a week. Doesn't matter what. Well, 3 nights out, 4 nights a week, we're at home. I want to be there. Kirsten encouraged me the other day. It was really encouraging. She's like, Ryan, you've really been helpful with Josh. And at 5 o'clock, I'm there most of the time, and I'm bathing him. Because I want to know my son. I want to know my family. And as I sow, there's a harvest where we are enjoying each other. But if I make work decisions the whole time and it's my whole life, at the end of the day, guys, you'll have a harvest of destruction. God didn't design it that way. Maybe you need to put in your diaries, date night. Men, take out your girlfriends, take out your wives, really treat them. Date night. Maybe you need to sit down as a couple and put in leave. You know, Kirsten and I have done it. We've put in leave. So, but there's so much happening then. We need you here. I've put in my allocated days of leave. You won't see me. I want to invest in my family because I want my harvest to flourish. Or maybe you're thinking about really enjoying work. I long for you guys at work. You spend most of your time there to enjoy it. Look at chapter 6, verses 4 to 5. He says, each one should test their own actions. They can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. And God has given you a purpose. God has given you a work to do. And maybe you need to take some time out and say, Lord, what are you calling to me? Where do you want me to work? Don't make the decision in light of the paycheck or the ladder climbing opportunities. Really look at your design and where you can be competent and serve and bless your work and those that in the community that you're serving. Maybe you might say, Lord, I want people to come to know the Lord. And so you maybe need to put in your diary lunch or dinner. I hear so many times, I long for that guy to come to know the Lord. Oh, really? Well, have you even spoken to him? Have you even said, hey, Jack, where are you at in your walk with God? Can I kind of make a 100% assumption here? If you don't have that conversation, it's very unlikely that that person will come to know the Lord. If you don't share the gospel with the people and the place and the context that God has put you in, yes, God may use someone else, but you get the point. You've actually got to just take a flyer and in a non-threatening way, ask the question, where are you at with God? I see you're lonely, or I see you look down, or can we go out for lunch? And you put it in your diary. Maybe generosity is something you want to grow in, so I put in my calendar, give. You know, Kirsten and I, we live off we'll give 10%, we'll save 10%, and we'll live off 80%. That's kind of the general rule, so that, you know, you're giving 10%, you're growing, we've got a missionary couple that we long to see the Lord use, and then we have a 10% as like a buffer, you know, if there's an emergency or we hear of a need, and then 80% we live off. And I really found that helpful when I heard it from Bill Hybels. But imagine, guys, imagine the oak tree. Imagine what the end of the year would look like if we sowed in the right way. That's the point. Imagine if we were keeping in step with God's very presence under His influence. If we just take this week out and spend some time thinking about how we're going to sow, the way we're going to sow, and just harness the power of your calendar and put in some non-negotiable things. Paul says here, we will reap at the proper time. Don't give up. Don't grow weary. That's what a farmer does. He grows weary. A sociologist, Dr. Nido Cuban, president of Elon University, says this. Most people, they fail to do anything because they attempt great things. You know, filling Loftus, making this many sales, wada, wada, wada. He says most great accomplishments are the result of many small decisions made in the same direction. There's one, a guy by the name of Jesus, and he said that unless a kernel of wheat dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces a harvest that is so plentiful. And when you think about our God, He didn't say, oh, I'm going to love these people. He didn't cast these big kind of visions or whatever. He took a seed. God our Father took a seed, and His name was Jesus. And He stuck Him in the ground in Golgotha, and He crushed Him in our place. Because many of us, we come with a harvest that is just fraught. And so He crushes His Son so that we can have a new harvest, a new purpose, a new presence, that we can engage with the living God in a safe way by His sheer grace. And that seed that He squashed has become the seed that, when you look globally, has grown and changed the lives, one life at a time. He got His hands dirty. He put it in a diary. He sent His Son, born under the law, who died in our place and produced a harvest that enables us to walk in His steps and in His grace. And so may this really be a year, guys, where just tomorrow, if you can find an acorn, just look at it for a long time. Say, Lord, a man reaps what he sows. You're not mocked. Give me the grace to sow under your lordship. Give me the grace this year to put in little diary entries that are going to produce a harvest where there's just flourishment and joy and life and grace and love, acknowledging the battle. But those who belong to the Lord, I really pray that you would do that. And if you don't belong to the Lord, if it's your kind of first time, think about what I've said tonight and really don't give up on God. Give him a shot this year. Maybe just put in your diary for our next series for the next 5 weeks. We've got a series called I Never Knew That. Just come for 5 weeks and then throw in the towel if it's not for you. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we know that we don't want to deceive ourselves and you're not mocked. A man reaps what he sows, and we pray, give us the grace to sow in a way where we experience your life and your grace and your joy. Help us think about what Paul's taught us tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So guys, we are going